Welcome back to Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast. Here's your host, Chris here. And for the first time in a while, we have the entire group of Black critics with me. I have Joy, Tim, Ro, and Brandon. And we are here a week before the Oscars airs to talk about these Oscar nominations. We're going to talk about who was nominated, who should have been nominated, who should not have been nominated, and to give our overall thoughts of what happened. We've kind of been teasing this for a while here, but you know, I haven't actually talked to everybody here, so maybe everybody doesn't feel the same way I do. So maybe that's a good place to start. I feel like last year, 2019, was a really good year for films. We had a lot of really good, diverse films, and I really felt like this year's Oscar race in a lot of categories was going to be, you know, really a tough one to get, to really nail people down for. And then I saw the list of nominees, and I feel like that list of nominees did not reflect the amount of good movies we had last year. But I mean, that's my opinion. How's everybody else feel?
I'd agree. I don't think it accurately reflects the how diverse the films were this year and the type of films we had and the type of actors and actresses we had. So yeah, I'm with you on that 100%.
Yep,
yeah, agreed. These nominations are trash. It's like they didn't even try. I keep seeing articles going around people saying that voters need to be required to prove that they saw movies, and I'm starting to think that's a better idea because, yeah, this was lazy.
It's funny you mentioned that. I just saw someone tweet out that at least 17 voters have just flat out admitted that they are not watching Parasite because they don't feel like being bothered with subtitles.
But it's not even just that one. That they didn't watch other films towards the end of the year for whatever reason. And to me, this year's nominations are kind of like the voting for Trump of Oscar nominations. Like, they last year acted like they was doing some shit by giving Spike Lee some shit and giving some other people some stuff. And this year, they're like, we're getting down back to the nitty white gritty, and we're going to go ahead and vote for these films that everybody knew were Oscar-style done films, but didn't at all reflect the amount of diversity in direction, production, and writing that we got last year. It was typical Oscar bullshit that they all decided to vote for. And then, of course, everybody did a circle jerk around Joaquin Phoenix. So this year's Oscars are just fucking boring. I'm not sure I'm going to watch them. Honestly, I don't care who wins what. So,
I mean, a lot of people like to make it like...
how I feel about the Oscars this year is how I feel about this.
Go, Joe.
Oh, I was going to say, how I feel about the Oscars this year is how I feel about the Super Bowl. I forgot that it's next week, just like how I forgot the Super Bowl today. So, yeah. If Parasite wins something, just know I'm going to act a whole fucking fool when I go into the office the next Monday. But other than that...
I mean,
other than that, I got nothing.
This year also felt like, I don't know. I do believe it's a little bit of backlash that they felt like maybe they let too many people of color into different guilds, and they were afraid of what was going to happen if, you know, those votes counted differently. But I also just feel like they don't have any appreciation for anything that requires them to do work. And I think it's even more than just subtitles. I mean, there was some great cinematography work by women, and one woman did two movies, Atlantics and Portrait of a Lady, not mentioned at all. I don't know. I mean, the like best picture doesn't even come close to acknowledging the breadth of films that came out this year. And I don't care what you like, even if you felt like they needed to be the ones that were still Oscar baity, or how do you not mention the director for Would You Be My Neighbor in direction? That movie is suited, booted, built, and designed and marketed to be Oscar bait. And she couldn't even get her foot in the door. So it just really felt like people are pissed off about streaming. They're pissed off that for the first year, they can't say, well, the movies weren't here for us to pick from. And they deliberately made it to where they couldn't vote for things because they didn't know what they were about.
What categories do you guys want to start with? We can go through these category by category. I mean, we'll do the big ones. We don't have to go through the smaller ones unless you guys want to bring them up towards the end.
I would just stick with the big ones. I mean, I think you should do director, picture, best best and best supporting. But I also think like adapted screenplay and original screenplay need to be addressed.
Yeah. Those are kind of what I was thinking about. Is there anyone in particular we want to start with? I figure we probably do best picture last.
You can start with directors and then end with best picture.
Okay, so let's start with the director.
I like that.
All right, so let's go through the director's list here of who we have nominated for director. Where I just had it in front of me. Where did I disappear on it?
Here
we go. I got director. So for director, we have Martin Scorsese for The Irishman. We have Todd Phillips for Joker. Sam Mendes for 1917. Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And who's the director of Parasite? Bong Joon-ho for Parasite. So, and this is going to be a recurring thing when I talk about Best Picture. I'll start here. I actually liked Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I'm actually shocked that Quentin Tarantino even did it outside of the feet thing, because it's actually way more reserved than I would expect a Quentin Tarantino film to be in certain aspects. He didn't go full Quentin Tarantino. That said, Tarantino should not be on this list. Like,
no. Who would you replace him with?
Absolutely not. Let's see. I would get him for.
I have.
Go ahead.
Alma Herrera.
Brandon, damn you.
Yep.
Alma Harrell or Lulu Wang was my choice.
Yeah.
I had Lulu Wang.
How does this even happen? Like, I liked Once Upon a Time in Hollywood too. But like, how does Alma Harrell and Lulu Wang not end up in this category? Like, how did they not? But we should have known it was a problem when Greta Gerwig didn't end up in this category.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nobody has a chance then, because they love her. Like, nobody has a chance if she can't get nominated. Like, that's crazy to me. It's crazy that he's in this, but like, how do you not acknowledge Honey Boy, and how do you not acknowledge The Farewell for their fucking direction?
Yeah, I mean, wow. I was also thinking, this is the thing. So we're going to talk about, there's two aspects of what makes these nominations so trash across the board. There's the whole, hey, they don't obviously represent how diverse and the great diverse movies we got from directing from in front of the camera, behind the camera. But here's the thing. Even if you just go with straight white people, it doesn't add up. Because I'm like, yo, how do you not put Noah Baumbach here for Marriage Story?
How
do you not have him there? So that's the thing that gets me about this is why these Oscar nominations to me are so trash. Even if you go with, even if you take the diversity out of it, they still don't make sense. Quentin Tarantino, and I I'm a Quentin Tarantino fan. I know you shouldn't say that on Twitter. I like his movies. I like this movie. He should not be here. This is him and Todd Phillips. I'm sorry. Neither one of those. I expected Joker to be, and we'll get in the best picture. I expected Joker to get in the best picture. That was just a give me. That was all going to happen. But
I mean, we're going to keep it 100. Let's keep it 100. The Irishman should not be here either. That is his worst gangster. It is. Like, if you're comparing this to Casino and Goodfellas, The Irishman is 3 hours and 30 minutes of, oh, I guess he can still do it. It's like if Snoop Dogg was to drop a motherfucking Murder Was the Case That They Gave Me Again album. And we're like, oh, I can still do Snoop stuff.
Sam did not blow anything out
of the water with The Irishman at all. And yet, here it is.
It's not one of his best films. Like you said, we'll talk about this when we get into the nominees for actors. It's everybody doing the same thing they've always done before. It is not original. And again, I'm saying that somebody who likes the film. I actually do like the film. The three hours didn't bother me, but Best Picture? Like out of the five names here, only Sam and Bong are the two that I absolutely like, they should be there. And I can even see an argument for saying that Sam shouldn't be there with some of the other pictures you can bring in there. So it's like,
I don't think Sam should be here. I think that should be up for editing. It shouldn't be up for director. I was like, I was surprised the Safdie brothers weren't here for Uncut Gems. Mm-hmm. And for no other reason than they should be acknowledged more for the work they did in Good Times and didn't get. I was surprised Celine Sciamma wasn't here for Portrait of a Lady on Fire. But I was shocked to my core that Noah Baumbach wasn't here for Marriage Story. Like, and Lulu Wang wasn't here for The Farewell. And so
The Farewell got shut out completely, didn't it?
Yeah.
Or did Aquafina get? No, she didn't.
Outside of the best supporting for Marriage Story for Scarlett, I think that's it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's it. for Marriage Story. But I agree with Ro.
Marriage Story's in Best Picture as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. But like, yeah. Sam Mendes, I would argue, should not be in Best Director. I agree with Ro wholeheartedly. I think if you're talking about editing, if you're talking about cinematography for Roger Deakins, please get him nominated. Like, that's nomination worthy. But as a direction, I think overall, like on a holistic picture standpoint, I think it's very great gowns, beautiful gowns, but the script is a little bit meh for me. Mm-hmm. So that's why I wouldn't put him in it. The only one on that list that I would say like absolutely deserves to be here is Bong Joon-ho for Parasite. Everyone else we listed would have been a better choice in my opinion.
And that's fair. This is one of the, like when people were talking about this and everybody was focusing on Joker getting all the nomination things like that, I was like, guys, that's not even the worst like thing that to look at. Like this director nominations here are terrible. It is absolutely terrible. Right.
But Chris, they don't know that because they didn't watch any of the other films that we would even bring up and mention that should be here. I'm just being honest about that. I've seen so many arguments about like in favor of Joker or against Joker and what other films should have been nominated. But they don't mention the other films because they don't really watch them shits. Like everybody get on this Oscar talk when the announcements get dropped, the nominations. But they don't have a list of their own to present in favor besides the critics like us. So those comments and stuff are cool. Like, I'll read Joy's comments and I'll read y'all's comments. You know what I'm saying? But just random talk on Twitter. That's just like when Marriage Story dropped on Netflix and everybody was like, I did better acting than this in acting school. I'm like, okay, see.
Yeah, I had to mute that. I was like, you a damn lie.
You are lying. Because if you did this good in acting school, you wouldn't be on Twitter complaining about how this shit is that bad. When it's got all these fucking nominations and people been talking about it all year, like, come on, man, calm it down, sir.
So the other thing to do, and again, Joy and I talked about this when we reviewed it, like, wasn't my favorite movie of the year, but again, when you see the Oscar talk, when you see the other awards talks and other awards that this film's won, I'm actually shocked that Taika Waititi wasn't in there either. Like,
for Jojo Rabbit?
Right, for all the talk that people, I mean.
Jojo Rabbit is a very polarizing film in the awards conversation. I think mm-hmm. it's going to win Best Adapted Screen or right. Best Original Screenplay, maybe. I'm not gonna lie, it wasn't, me and Chris have talked about it, it was not my favorite film last year. I didn't even crack my top 25, to be truthful. I think there's a chance that Waititi might pull a bit of an upset and get Best Original, but we'll see.
Right, but again,
Rabbit, but I think I've liked it for weird reasons. But right. I agree with you. I was surprised not to hear more about him. Right. But I think it's because he made a movie that makes people uncomfortable, and they are hardcore shying away from anything that makes them uncomfortable. Like, I mean, I've heard other critics who had to vote for things, and they were like, "Oh yeah, no, I just went for the big boys." I was like, "That's what you put up, even when you voted for your guild." I was like, really? Did you watch movies? Did you get them in the mail? Did you get screeners? They're like, yeah. I picked and choose what I watched. And I was like, you shouldn't have been allowed to vote.
And I mean, and I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum for Jojo. I think Jojo Rabbit is an amazing film and like a huge laughter, then gut fucking punch.
Mm-hmm.
It just resonated with me as far as Taiki Waititi is just, he's one of my favorites. Like, I don't think I've seen a bad thing by him at this point. So if he wins, I'm all for it. But also, I feel like a lot of these this year are I feel like they're backhanded compliments. I feel like I'm Tyler at the Grammys accepting awards for some of this stuff if I get it. Because we haven't gotten to a particular category, but when we get there, I'm going the fuck off because I am so sick of this backhanded racist bullshit that they do. And then people try to act like it's not. And it absolutely fucking is. But
so, yeah. So that was directing. Let's go into the screenplay category. So you have, for Best Adapted, we just talked about it. For Best Adapted, you have The Irishman again, Jojo Rabbit. And I'm like, so is it an adapted screenplay? I'm like, did you adapt it? Is it because you adapted off of other Scorsese films? Or is it I'm just trying to figure out where the adapting came in on that one. Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, and then The Two Popes are in there.
And The Irishman.
Yeah, I know. I said The Irishman. I made the joke about it. Yeah.
Oh, it's adapted from a book. That's why.
I know. I'm just
kidding. It's a trash book, which is why there's, you know, just a lot of dialogue.
Okay, like, do they only like Greta because she's a woman that writes? Do they never expect to actually give her any type of other acknowledgement or accolade for her work? Even though I didn't think Little Women was the greatest thing I saw last year.
I actually... Continue. No, I was going to say, I actually thought Little Women was one of my favorite films last year. A nigga was shocked because I did not see it for Lady Bird. I did not understand the praise for Lady Bird during the Oscar season a couple of years back. This one, though, I was like, I can see why it's doing well, but I agree with you, Bryn. I do get a little annoyed with Greta Gerwig, and it's not because of her. I don't like what she represents, where she's the only female director people like to throw in when they talk about more women directors getting nominated, because I do think that there are women directors last year who did better films. Absolutely. Like Lulu Wang and Alma Harrell. So
even just throwing her in. Like, my problem is, if y'all like her, why won't y'all step her up? Like, y'all only
I agree with you. I agree with you.
So it's disrespectful to her too.
I think they're comfortable with Greta. I mean, she's industry. She's familiar. She plays the game. And, you know, she does that gracious and defeat thing very well. So they're very comfortable putting her forward and then picking and choosing if and when they let her win something. And they're very comfortable letting a woman win something for writing, because that kind of says, oh, she's still background. But no, I don't think they're not willing to step her. I don't think that she should be in the conversation for director. I'm not going to lie. I know good and damn well, I'll fight everybody all day long that I'm pissed more people didn't see Portrait of a Lady on Fire, because this entire year's conversation would be different, especially talking about women directors. I mean, we would be in a fist fight between Skamata, Lulu Wang, and Alma Harrell. No one else would even be in the game except Muriel for Would You Be My Neighbor, because she managed to make that shit look good.
But I guess it's led then, because I thought the conversation was huge around Portrait of a Lady on Fire all year, which is why I tried 3 times to watch it before I finally watched it properly. And yes, it took me 3 times because I just was not in the zone I needed to be to appreciate it. So
it came out a big out of festivals, and there was a big to do about which films were going to be the ones put forward by their country. But when it came down to people in the associations and the guilds actually watching the movie, they didn't.
That's
the
crazy.
Other aspect of it is that, like, to Rose's point, France chose Les Miserables, and I disagree with that choice.
It should have been Antigone.
I disagree with that choice from France. I think it should have their international submission should have been Portrait.
And Neon threw all their money behind Portrait. They did not. I mean, behind Parasite, they didn't divide that money down to anything else, right?
Parasite, yeah, they did.
They made yeah. a. They
and
made
also
a
had, mind you. Yeah, but also to Rose's point again, like, Neon put all of their eggs in the Parasite basket. It's working for them, don't get me wrong. So I'm not even necessarily saying it's a bad choice, but I am saying that they had really good Oscar contender films like Luce and even Clemency and Portrait of a Lady on Fire on top of Parasite that they could have put a little bit more money and push towards that I think would have been really interesting to, like, sprinkle into these nominations.
Neon could have run. They could have made a run with their catalog this year, and they decided to pick one. And I also think it's like, because it's women, because it was a female romance story, and because it was directed by a woman, I think that they figured that Portrait would fall into the, oh, they may acknowledge it for foreign film, and that's it.
I mean, I don't hold anything against Neon for not making the run it should have. Like, yes, their booklet for 2019 is, if I could give one to everyone I liked in life, films, I would. But I also think that they might have felt like they were taking a huge risk by putting so much behind Parasite. Because when I look at the feedback and I look at the criticisms and I look at these nominations, I'd be scared shitless that people would not get that movie. Just would not get it and would not appreciate it. And we would have invested a lot of money into it, being Neon too. You know, they don't have, I'm assuming they don't have the money to the degree that other studios have, given the success of their films and the actual pull in financially that they do. So I wish that they could have pushed everything in that booklet. Everything.
Oh, I'm not faulting Neon. I think they made a good strategic choice. I mean, Parasite
is doing what it's doing. Yeah,
it's doing what it's doing. It's a solid film, and it had enough to where not just word of mouth between critics got people to talk, groundswell between people who like Korean films are like, oh, word, they're bringing one? And it was a good one. Plus, they know his name. He did Okja. He's done The Host. He's done other things that people who... Yeah, so he's done... he was a solid bet. And I like Parasite. It's not my number one of the year, but I also watch a lot of Korean films, so I know that he's getting away with introducing something to American audiences in a way that Korean audiences have been watching since 2004. But I thought it was a safer bet, but I think it's also because I watch a lot more foreign films. I'm not knocking Neon in any way. I think they made a really smart choice, and it was also a very risky choice for them given the high level of xenophobia in our, you know, regional film festival. So I get that. It's like, but when it came down to what they were talking about for adapted screenplay, I think Two Popes belongs here. I think Jojo Rabbit belongs here. I'll even give Greta for Little Women, because her adaptation was good. I didn't like how she was amorphous with time, because that just is disrespectful to Louisa May Alcott in a way it's not necessary. But if you're trying to bring something contemporary while still maintaining the integrity of its historical feel, I think she did a brilliant job with the adapted screenplay. But Joker doesn't belong here. It's not adapted from anything. The Irishman doesn't belong here. So, I mean, all he did was fictionalize the disappearance of Jimmy Hoffa.
To be fair, they put every comic book film as adapted. I've realized that before. So
if
it has a comic book character in it, then they call it adapted. I actually hate these two. I hate these two categories. I hate splitting out adapted and original screenplays. I do, because it's like something like Joker, again, like you said, it's because it has a character that's from a comic book, but the screenplay isn't really adapted from anything. So like, what are we like? It's to me, I hate the way they do these two categories. I do. I actually hate voting for them. Cause I have to then go out. Go ahead.
Where do you put Rocket Man then?
Right.
Between these two categories. Is that adapted or is that original? Why isn't it either?
I think I think Rocket Man is one that I think stands out as being completely snubbed. Another one, because we were talking about female director before, I had to remember Booksmart was last year too.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Booksmart and Olivia Wilde was another one where, you know, like, could have easily fallen into this. You know, we should probably just do these both at the same time. Let me do original real quick, because I always have a hard time figuring out where a film falls and whether it's adapted and whether it's original, because there might be something that looks like it's original. You kind of find out like, oh wait, no, it's based off of something else that nobody else knew about, and so it's adapted.
It's a legit question though. Like Rocket Man, if anybody knows, could you let me know? Because I'm absolutely confused at where it should have been.
I think it was an original. Because
it would be original. Because
based off his life.
When I think of adapted, they're basing it on something that's adapted from like text, right?
Yeah.
Or like a book or a story. Yeah. Well, Rocket Man is not from a book or a story,
right?
But it
would have been best original screenplay according to
the original.
Paramount Guild put it under originals.
Yeah.
Looked at the back of it. Okay, cool. So they put it under original. Yeah. Okay, so it got snubbed original.
Yeah, got snubbed.
And director. By the way, that wasn't one that we didn't name, but it should have been under director, in my opinion.
Yes.
Yeah, I can give you that one. I can agree with that. I think this is an artificial separation because they wanted to be able to acknowledge screenwriting twice.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to acknowledge the people who take something from... Like, I think Just Mercy should have been under adapted screenplay. Yeah. And I think
yes, agree with that.
I think it started coming to the point where they were like, people who are taking things from plays, who were taking things from books, people who are taking things from something that is already in existence, and then pulling that into something into the visual arts, we should call that adapted. And then people who are pulling something squarely out of their ass with no other reference point except life and experience, we should call that screenplay. But I truly think it just comes down to they wanted to acknowledge writing twice. And they also were arrogant about the people who didn't need a reference point.
So there's two things about that. One, they knew what you do. You fucking make the category twice as big like you did with fucking Best Picture, right? Just allow 10 people to be nominated for it, and right there. Two, well then, what do you do with something like Knives Out, where Ryan Johnson clearly says, "Well, yeah, I mean it's original, but I did take a lot from Agatha Christie novels and things like that. Like that was my inspiration." So it's like, Like, where's the line on that? Like, it's
no, a stupid. I get it. Yeah. I mean,
it's like, so stupid.
Ford versus Ferrari is based off of a real event and mm-hmm. a real race, and right. they put that under, I believe, original screenplay.
Right. It's just stupid.
Ad Astra is fucking space baboons and pirates, and we know good damn well that ain't real.
Right.
And it's also under just regular screenplay. So I get it, but I don't think it was just about wanting to. I think they wanted to have two winners mm-hmm. for writing. And the only way to do that was to separate the category between some artificial divide so they could have a legitimate reason to give two awards. I don't think it was just acknowledging. I think they wanted to do more than just acknowledge writers. They wanted to give two awards.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that one. For original screenplay, who got nominated was Knives Out, written by Rian Johnson, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood again, and then Parasite.
So how is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood an original story? Because he changed the ending?
The screenplay itself is original.
Yeah.
Because it's a completely fictionalized Hollywood. None of the this is the reason why I was really shocked that people got upset about how he portrayed Bruce Lee. Nobody was supposed to match anything other than their Hollywood myth. All of it was caricature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nothing was supposed to be real. It's supposed to all have that. Like the locations they picked. I still don't think you should be nominated for picking awesome ass locations. It's freaking Hollywood. But none of it was supposed to be real. No one was rooted in reality, not just like the Manson family and the murder of Sharon Tate and her friends in that house. None of it is real. It's all fictionalized.
Not trying to start like a nonsensical deep discussion debate over some shit that I honestly don't even really care about, but just to devil's advocate that, which is always the asshole approach, Joker is adapted from a character of Joker that doesn't actually exist as Joker in the Batman universe where there's a Joker. So, you know, it's pulled from the idea of that existence of that character, but it's a complete spin and not anywhere else in that world or universe. I'm looking at Once Upon a Time.
He said it in Gotham.
That's it. I'm looking at Once Upon a Time. I'm like, all of these were real characters.
He didn't have to do that.
It really did happen. It just didn't all happen this way. This is his own spin on the way this shit happened, which is Todd Phillips' own spin on the way Joker turned from
again the difference
psychopath into a bitch ass nigga.
Right. The difference is when they put out Joker, even though everything you said is true, they still say based off the DC character. And so because of that, it's based off of something that was written, whereas with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it's just based off of real life, right? It's based off of events that happened in real life, not written.
He
didn't
say he was just inspired by the Joker and make Arthur Fleck and set him in Chicago.
That doesn't matter either. Like, I'm just saying that they've done this before with some of these. The same thing with Logan, right? Where it's like, based off a combo character, and so it doesn't actually have to match up anything. Doesn't have to match up anything in the comic at all. As long as the name is
I was only speaking to the point to why Once Upon a Time ekes out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, like if you looking for apples to apples, you know, he didn't just take the Joker and say he was inspired by this and create this character and art. He said in Gotham, he kept the Waynes.
I mean, he said it in New York. He kept the fake Waynes family.
But you know what I mean. But yeah, so he did enough to where, like, I was like, all right, fine. It's stupid. It's not adapted from jack shit, but whatever. But yeah, I really, truly, honestly think that we could sit here all day and rip these apart for why neither one of them belong in the category they're in. But you're right. It's totally artificial.
Yeah.
It's artificial.
I was just best the original screenplay, 1917 shouldn't be there. Just by the
no.
way.
Why is
no,
it?
No, it shouldn't. Because everybody loves Sam.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to be rude because this is best one based on like Sam's granddaddy or something like that and like his war stories. The screenplay is not great. And
he didn't do anything with the story from his grandfather. I mean, well, he did, and that sounded. I felt slightly disrespectful just now. But
you see, like, I'm not trying to be mean, but like, I'm sorry. It should not be, and it should have not gotten nominated for best original screenplay. Get out of here.
I'm really mad that Jordan Peele's Us isn't up for best original screenplay still. Yeah. So that's just me. And Waves. I mean,
yeah,
that's where I'm at. I don't Loose and Waves absolutely should be in this category, mm-hmm. but also like Peanut Butter fucking Falcon, dog. Like, seriously?
Like, how,
these are all films that deserve, that are outside of the realm. Like, they're different. They're absolutely title outliers. That's what I thought critics look for.
Right.
And yet I look at this category and I'm like, Knives Out? Listen, I love Clue and Guess and all of those board games, but literally two of these films came out last year. Like, Ready or Not and Knives Out could fall into the same category of film. So, really? Not saying that Ryan Johnson isn't great. It's a great film. I love it. But,
the word I describe some of these, like, they're either flat out disrespectful to the other group or they're safe. To me, and I usually think that to me, both screenplay categories are usually where they get a little, you get the films that, you know, probably would never been able to break up into Best Picture, but at least they'll get nominated there. These categories, they just feel so safe. Like, they didn't even bother watching any of those other films. They didn't bother watching Waves. They didn't bother watching Us. They didn't bother watching Loose or any of these other films. They didn't bother watching any of that stuff, and they went with something like, oh, well, I need to vote for something, so let me just find Parasite, or Parasite's a bad one because Parasite should be there.
How
but like,
is Pain and Glory not here?
Right, but what kills me is this: when you get into the acting, like some of the, how do you vote for the actors in some of these, like in Pain and Glory, but then you don't recognize? Because I mean, we could have mentioned Pedro Almodovar for director, and because I remember when, I can't remember what it was, what early maybe it was like New York Film Critics. I can't remember which ones, but they voted for Pain. They gave Pain and Glory like and Pedro like Best Picture, and then also like Best Director. I mean, I hit you up, Ro, going like, "Oh my God, mm-hmm. they actually recognized
that.
We were right.
No one else is gonna do it."
Right? I was shocked. I was shocked that somebody actually watched Pain and Glory, because that's another really great film there. It's just. These nominations have just been so weird. They're either disrespectful or they're so safe. And then when you take it all together, they don't make sense. You know, how do
they? We're being real nice. These nominations make sense if you are trying to reestablish white supremacy and what white people think is thematically important in life. If you are really, we are being really nice. That's what these nominations are, even including Parasite, because it talks about class issues and everybody in the United States is running around with F capitalism, you know, burn it all down. Every last one of these nominations are about nostalgic, fictionalized versions of what was great about different times in America, you know, the great mysteries of the things and loyalty versus fidelity and, you know, murder. And even Jojo Rabbit talks about, you know, the compound nature of the id versus the ego and, you know, what we do that leads to, you know, hive mind mentality, and that, I don't know, mass murder, genocide, and death. These, even talking about the two popes, the one pope that nobody liked, that had to be replaced by the pope everybody loves. Every last one of these adapted and original screenplays are some aspects of reestablishing concepts and understandings of white frickin' supremacy. And we can tap dance around it all damn day, but it is.
It's not tap dancing, because I opened up saying this is the Trump voting of Oscarship. Like, what it sounds like you're saying is, this is MAGA. Make American cinema great again. That's what it sounds like. And that's exactly what it fucking looked like when they dropped these nominations. And for this is going to bother me, and I might be the only one who feels this way, and I'm completely cool with that. Joker getting all these nominations pisses me off, because they wanted to put so much faith behind a film that's supposed to be different from the other superhero films. And it came out not less than a month after Freaks. And that just pisses me off.
Oh, you are not alone in being pissed. You know that.
Knowledge of film that separates itself in its screenplay, its direction, and even its fucking cinematography from the typical superhero films that you complain about us getting constantly from Marvel and DC, mostly Marvel, because they're consistent with their release dates. And you go and you support Joker from fucking Todd Phillips, the guy who did three Hangover films, and you act like that is a huge accomplishment, and you completely ignore Freaks, a film that makes you completely understand why the whole 20 years of X-Men and Fox was a big goddamn mistake.
Now, to be fair to them, like, Freaks didn't get a really big push, so I can it no I didn't
no,
see
no, it. I didn't.
I'm not being sarcastic.
Okay. Right. So I can understand people not seeing that. But like, you're not wrong. Like, it's just like, out of all of the, out of, this is why actually I'm doing my, you know, let Bernie Sanders win thing, but Joker, like, I can actually see Joker. If Joker is the actual film that, the comic film that breaks it and wins at this point, it's going to be hilarious because it's also the one, the least deserving out of all the ones, right? It's the least deserving out of all the comic films that have ever been nominated before it. Like, it's got the one, it's got the worst rating out of all of them. It's really not that original. And then it's the one that kind of shies away from actually being a comic book film. So it's like, and again, compared to everything else that it's up against, it shouldn't be there. It just shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. You know,
I'm just trying to figure out what they thought was so brilliant about the screenplay for Joker. I really, honestly, I was like, if anything in Joker struck you as original and unique and having any kind of depth, you are probably responsible for an angry white child.
Well, here's what gets me about Joker, though, right? Because not even it's when people sit there talk about Joker, they talk about, oh, it needs to be nominated. Even talking about, you know, Joaquin Phoenix being nominated, I mean, he's gonna win best actor. He's going. But you know what pisses me off about that is, where was that same energy for Split a couple years ago?
Right.
Because that's it. I mean, that's what James McAvoy plays, like 10, like 30 different fucking characters in that film, and that's what you get. It's a white dude lost his fucking mind and going like, we're Split.
He makes you care about all the different people.
Exactly.
So you give, like, a shit about people hanging out in his DID world.
So it's like, what did you? I mean,
correct me here. Was Heath Ledger nominated for best
supporting?
And he won.
He won. Okay. He won for best supporting.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I think the thing that pisses me off about this, that about this being the film for which he's being nominated, is because he should have been nominated last year. Mm-hmm. He's playing the same character with just weight loss. And, I mean, lives with his mom, got issues. The only fundamental difference is that last year's character, it was an assassin. And I like that movie. It was a great movie. No one was talking about him. And everybody should have been talking about Joaquin Phoenix last year.
So this is a conversation that I've actually had with a few people, not directly online, and I don't know if I've mentioned it, but I'm going to piggyback off what you said, Ro, because it's a good lead in. These fucking Oscars and these award ceremonies need to stop this bullshit of awarding people that they did not properly award years ago. If you fucked up years ago, eat it, sit on it, and move the fuck on. Because you cannot, now what you're doing is you're fucking over other people for people that you fucked up, and it's a cycle that will never end. You're like, A, we did not give Denzel the praise he deserved during so-and-so, so now we're going to fuck over another film to give him one win for a film that absolutely does not fucking deserve it. We're not going to do it. And they're doing it again here with Joaquin Phoenix. I kept hearing this, that they were like, oh, this is what they should have given him before. And I'm like, well, then you know what? They should have fucking given it to him. But this is not the time for makeups. Like,
but I honestly think it also dovetails back to your original point, Brandon. People didn't see You Were Never Really Here last year. It was one of those movies that was more indie, got a limited release, showed up at art house films, and flew under the radar. And a lot of people didn't see it. Mm-hmm. So you're running into the problem of they didn't vote for Joaquin Phoenix in a movie they absolutely would have voted for him doing brilliant work in because they didn't see it. And now a lot of them have seen it and said, oh, shit, we should have been talking about him. And they have the excuse of saying that he can do it now because the Joker, where he's taking the character development that he gave for the character and You Were Never Really Here, and he's taking it to its dissipated opposite. And you know they love to give white boys awards for losing an extra 40 pounds. And so I think that it's a combination of all the different conceits that happen when it comes down to these types of awards. They should have been talking about him last year. They weren't because they didn't see the film, so it didn't get the hype and the praise and the push it needed to make it to the award season. And Joaquin Phoenix did that cosmetic makeover that's supposed to equal character development and depth that they love to award, because then they can say later in life, look, he killed his kidneys for us.
Now, Ro, I'm not going to lie. I heard everything that you just said, and it made sense. But I couldn't stop thinking about the fact that this is the reason that Jonah Hill will never win an Oscar.
because instead of losing weight for film, he lost 100 pounds for films, and then he loses all that weight again. He never does a film. He
only
does.
So you just want to dovetail in some fat phobia too? Okay, we can throw that in.
Like, somebody needs, like, I want to see Marvel's diet plan and Jonah Hill's diet plan because they fucking work. They fucking work, but he'll never win an Oscar now based off what you just said because his shit is in reverse. Yeah, he needs to get on that.
Come on now, Booksmart, the girls pretty much didn't even get acknowledged for the brilliant ass work they did. And neither one of them is prototypically Hollywood pretty. So you already knew he wasn't winning an Oscar. But I mean, I'm just trying to stick within the themes and, you know, obey the rules of talking about things in order. But again, I mean, we could do this all day talking about these. It's like, I love The Two Popes. I thought it was a great movie. I don't think it should be an adapted screenplay.
I don't either. But I do think it should be in Best Supporting. I just don't think both of them should be. I mean, Best Actor. I don't think both of them should be there, though. Like, that's crazy to me.
Let's go into, so we talk about, you just mentioned Best Supporting. Let's go into Best Supporting Actress, and then we'll go into Best Supporting Actor there. So for Best Supporting Actress role, we have Kathy Bates for Richard Jewell, Laura Dern for Marriage Story, Scarlett Johansson for Jojo Rabbit, Florence, is it Pug?
Pugh.
Florence Pugh for Little Women, and then Margot Robbie for Bombshell.
Why is Cassidy?
This is a dub.
Why is she here? Like, we know who's going to win this category, right?
Laura Dern.
Why? Exactly. Thank you, Joy. Like, right. We know who's going to win this category. Right. Why the fuck is Kathy Bates here? Why is she?
Because Kathy Bates went to work.
Yeah, to be quite honest, Margot Robbie shouldn't be here either. Florence Pugh is the, and I love Laura Dern from the bottom of my heart. If she wins, I'm not going to be upset at all. But like, I think there have been better performances from Laura Dern that could have gotten nominated versus this one. Personally, I think in a just world, Florence Pugh for Little Women should win.
Florence Pugh for Little Women, I'm happy with it, but Florence Pugh should be nominated for Midsommar, so fuck them.
Like, why is she here for this and not for Best Actress in Midsommar, dog? Why is Midsommar not here for anything?
Because it's a horror movie.
Toni Collette didn't get nothing for Hereditary either, so I don't know why. And neither did Lupita Nyong'o for Us, so I don't know why we were surprised.
Yeah.
Kathy Bates is nominated because she went to work, and I think that they feel like if Kathy gets up and puts on some clothes and, you know, shows her natural roots or silver and white, that they're supposed to nominate her. And they also think that they were uncomfortable with not nominating Richard Jewell when it's a trash ass movie that should never been made. And it should actually get all of Clint Eastwood's ability to make movies without supervision revoked.
But that should have been revoked years ago, though. I mean, let's be honest here.
When he was arguing with the chair at the RNC. But anyway.
But we talked about this we talked about Laura Dern, and I agree with you. Laura Dern is being acknowledged for the plethora of work she's done where no one has given her the time of day and even acknowledged that she's been an anchor and a foundational element of many a movie that wouldn't work without her. This character from Marriage Story
is Renata from Big Little Lies.
On 12, all she did was turn up the notches two more on the dial, and they gave her a slightly better wardrobe and a better flip to her Farrah Fawcett ass hair. That is it. She is, again, this is a consolation nomination for an actress who they have been disrespecting for over a decade. But Margot Robbie is the only good part of Bombshell, but there wasn't enough of her to be worth her being nominated.
Yeah, in order for that from the work, they should have made her the lead, but they didn't.
She should have been the center of the movie. Right. I personally think Margot Robbie is here because they patently refused to give it to J-Lo.
I mean, I'm going to...
I'm sorry.
I could go all day about that fucking J-Lo film and how it's being overrated as shit because it's J-Lo who did it. But, like, for JoJo...
I agree with that. I think she should have gotten nominated, actually. But that's neither here nor there.
She got to be herself.
That's cool.
So did Laura Dern, and that got her a nomination.
Okay. I mean, Laura Dern plays multiple type of characters, though. J-Lo is... JoJo Rabbit getting nominated... And Scarlett Johansson instead of Thomasin McKenzie kind of pissed me off, but that's because they don't respect children. So it's fine, I guess. It's fine.
I'm mostly pissed that Taylor Russell isn't in this conversation at all for Waves.
They weren't. They didn't see it.
They didn't see it.
Yeah, they didn't see it. Oh, and the people who did see it were like, she was underutilized. I didn't feel like she was there at all because they don't understand. They have no appreciation for subtlety and nuance from a Black woman. She was never going to be. Never going to be in this conversation.
They could have nominated the mother from Waves as well. Like, Waves to me was a category that was kind of what it was, fell into the category of A Quiet Place last time, where you could have nominated any of those leads, any of the anyone from that family, and also the girlfriend. And I would have I get it. I get all of it.
Don't also forget Zazu Zinn from The Farewell, who was a wonderful
I actually thought she was nominated until I looked at the screen. I was like, wait, she wasn't even nominated for this? It's like, there was a whole big push about her.
She got a Golden Globe nomination. They shut her out of the Oscars.
Wow.
Yeah, Kathy Bates, Richard Jewell even popping up anywhere was a shock because it got nominated nowhere. Like, not at the SAGs. Yeah, not at the Golden Globes, and then not at the BAFTAs, nowhere. And then out of nowhere, Kathy Bates pops up, and everybody was like, what?
Kathy Bates was playing her character from frickin' Dolores Claiborne, turned down a notch. She shouldn't be here. Elizabeth Moss should be here. For us.
Like, everybody kept talking about how amazing Uncut Gems was. I was kind of shocked that neither Idina Menzel or Julia Fox got put in this category as much now, talk. And I don't even Julia like
that. I would have liked Julia Fox here. That would have been a pleasant surprise, actually.
Yeah, I liked her too.
And was required to carry a supporting role next to Adam Sandler for a good majority of the film. For her to be able to step up to that in that chaotic ass film, I don't know why her name isn't a bunch of places right now.
I was surprised we weren't getting Octavia Spencer from Loose too.
I agree with you, except I'm not shocked that she wasn't there because Loose didn't. If there was going to be a film that Calvin Harrison Jr. was in last year that would have made it, it would have been Waves. Loose just fell. It was like Freaks again. It fell way too far under the radar, unfortunately, because it absolutely should be there. It really should be there, but I knew they weren't pushing that one. So, like,
I also feel like they're atypical narratives that feature Black people that even Black people don't believe really exist in the real world.
That's a big thing. We talked about that last time. Like, there's a lot of these films that people think that for some reason, Black people don't do that. Black people aren't like that. I'm like, y'all need to know more Black people, and that's coming from Black people. You need to talk to other Black people because, yes, there are Black people that fit in that category.
I think Luce just didn't get the respect that it deserved. I mean, for the reasons y'all are saying, but I kind of wish that these studios and these distribution teams would start putting these films out in January and February. I know that's real far takeaway from the Oscars, but dropping that shit in August and September also is not helping you at all.
I mean, The Farewell came out really early.
I was going to say, but I disagree with you with that, Brandon, because I think a lot of these films came out during the TIFF slate and or later and were able to make it through. I don't genuinely, like, if we're saying that a lot of these voters are getting four-year considerations that films that just came out and they can't watch all of them, ain't no way in hell your film is coming out in January and February and niggas going to remember it.
It's not can't watch, Joy. It's don't watch. I mean, The Farewell came out really early in the year, and then they went wider with it later in the year. So you're both right. And it's won't watch. It's not can't watch. We had a morning screening for The Farewell. They asked if people wanted links for The Farewell. They had a later, right before it went wider release, for The Farewell. And I went to the morning screening. There were less than 10 of us there. And I got it because it was an AM screening. But even when they did the evening screening, it wasn't full. Critics Row was almost empty again.
Yeah, the earliest release film that's getting nominated when you're talking about like multiple nominations is probably like June. And that's Joker, because Joker showed at Venice, and Venice is like in the summer. But the rest of these films showed at TIFF because me and Chris were there, or they got released in October, November, December. Like, when is Cannes? Cannes is what, in the summertime?
No, it's early. I think it's like May. Like, I thought it was May.
Yeah, well, that's whatchamacallit. That's when That's where Parasite premiered, was in Cannes. So, like, yeah, like, these films are not coming out until, like, the summer, the earliest. But, like, any of these Sundance films, they're not on this list at all.
But I think some of it is just, I think some of it is they're just eliminating movies that they don't want to be on the national conversation in this country.
I don't think they want them. And, that, like, my thing for Loose is not that critics pick up on it, because critics clearly could have seen it, did see it, or didn't see it, and didn't care to vote for it or put it anywhere, despite giving it high ratings on in their reviews and on Rotten Tomatoes, which is a whole another issue I have with how Oscars and other award ceremonies end up working with their voting strategies.
Now, remember that, like, none of those people vote. None of those people vote either. So almost none of those people, and well, those critics vote. So
for me, the audiences, though, to for them to experience, like, different types of films like this, I feel like putting them, releasing them wide on August 2nd, it's not probably your best idea, because people aren't looking for films like this on August 2nd. And the competition around that time is much heavier for these big budget blockbuster films than it is for something like Loose that is going to definitely fall under the radar, and some of the other films. I kind of feel like I wish Freaks would have came out earlier in the year or later in the year, but I feel like where it was pitted at, it just did not work in its benefit. Sadly.
I think some of these movies are just baby tests. I mean, I think, I honestly think, given how many movies it, like Bad Boys did well this January, we may see a change to what happened, and we may start getting less what is, you know, universally considered to be junk January. So I think slowly some of the things that you're saying are happening, and more markets are starting to get in on the limited release, to being on the front end of the rollout instead of waiting to see what happens later. But, you know, just in terms of money.
Right. But those calendar
year, yeah, remember your film.
Yeah. Those films are not, yeah. Yeah. Those films, I'd argue there's not a good time to release Freaks for it to get picked up. Because we've seen films like that get released at different times, and it's fallen on the radar. Like, you know, when was a good time to release Booksmart? We say that, you know, when they released it that one time, they released it in May, we're like, you guys should have waited to release that. But it's like, I look at the calendar, it's like, when would have been a good time to release Booksmart for it to actually been able to be picked up?
I don't think
see women films that are comedies, and comedies suffering right now in general, period.
I don't think Booksmart's release date was the problem. I think Booksmart's marketing was the problem.
I just think people don't want comedies like that, especially with women. And I think
that's what I mean. So doubling down on calling it the Booksmart for women and Super Bad for Women and all those things that they did, and the cut that they put for the trailers, the marketing for Booksmart was only ever going to pull in the audience that already existed for that particular style of movie. And if that's the dope. People who were in that, who watch that style of movie, are heavily misogynistic, which they are, you've already cut in half. That's true. I told you, I took people who don't like those kinds of movies with me to see Booksmart, and they were like, I'm really glad you came. This isn't anything like what I thought it was going to be. It's not anything. It's a completely different, you know, angle on that other stuff that I can't stand. And they were like, I totally never would have seen this movie, and I'm really glad that I did. Well, so I thought it was more of a marketing issue.
Well, that's also a larger conversation, and we'll have another roundtable for just talking about, you know, like, the way Hollywood markets films in general is bad. Like, the 2019
marketing was trash.
Yeah, so that's also a really good point, that they haven't learned how to market certain films. And yeah, that's just. Yeah. Moving on. So let's talk about Best Supporting Actor. So we have the actors in supporting role. We have Tom Hanks for A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Anthony Hopkins for The Two Popes. We have Al Pacino for The Irishman, Joe Pesci for The Irishman, and then Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Now, I kind of mentioned it before when we talked about The Irishman before, nominating Joe Pesci and Al Pacino for The Irishman, and did they get anyone? Well, they didn't get. Here's the thing. I'm tired of them nominating certain actors. Like, Joe Pesci doesn't do anything different than Joe Pesci always does in these kind of films. It's the same role. He doesn't do Joe
Pesci well in that film either. Like, right, it's not right. Even, it's not Joe even Pesci from the other films.
Exactly. It's not even like the best Joe Pesci playing Joe Pesci in all these films.
He's same getting nominated because he's not Tommy.
Can I be honest?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love Brad Pitt, and I think he does a lot of great things for black films with Plan B. I don't know why he keeps getting, I don't know why he keeps winning at these award shows for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I did not think his performance was that great.
So here's my thing, and Roke can probably back me on this. I like his performance with Upon a Time in Hollywood. I like that movie. I agree with you. Yes. He should not be nominated for here. He should be nominated for Best Actor for Ad Astra. He should be in that because that is we talked about this when we reviewed Ad Astra. Ad Astra is not the typical Brad Pitt film. Is Brad Pitt vulnerable? It's not like Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is Brad Pitt. It's this hyper masculine Brad Pitt that you see all the time. Ad Astra Brad Pitt is completely not that. Right, and it's a very good performance by Brad Pitt. So if you just had to nominate Brad Pitt, then you nominate him for Best Actor for that movie, not for this, not for this.
Let's be real, Tom Hanks shouldn't be here for doing a really nice, solid SNL, Mr. Rogers.
I didn't want to be the person to say it, so I'm glad you fucking said it.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that too.
God, like everybody talking about how great this movie was, and I know y'all love Mr. Rogers and y'all love this take of this film. But frankly, I did not find his performance that fucking amazing.
I know. It was compelling within context of telling the main character's story because it gave great framing to tell that story. It wasn't his film. It was never intended to be his film. And he was nice. He was nice flavor and color in his cardigans. That's it.
He was Mary Poppins, which I'm cool with.
Hey, he wasn't even as good as Miss Emily Blunt's Mary Poppins. So don't even.
I agree with that as well.
Which is crazy because, like, Won't You Be My Neighbor is a way superior Mr. Rogers film versus A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Just watch the documentary. The documentary is fantastic.
But if you're going to talk about A Beautiful Day in a Neighborhood and you want to talk about something about it, we should have been talking about the freaking director.
Yeah, Marielle Heller should have gotten nominated for director.
So here's
the shit out this movie.
So
she also didn't she also do Can You Ever Really Forgive Me? Or no, she did You Were Never Really Here. That's what she did.
Yeah, You're Never Really Here.
Hello. Sorry, I'm bad. I'm really mad that no one was talking about You Were Never Really Here. She did brilliant work in You Were Never Really Here. And she compounded on it this time around with A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. She is who we should be talking about.
So there's at least you going?
Oh no, I'm saying I'm that guy that puts this out there because I'm not sure if anyone else will, but I'll be that nigga. Fucking Jonathan Majors from.
I was gonna say that. Yes.
You have a coalition.
Like, I'm sorry. This is a fucking atrocity.
This is one of the worst categories to me.
No way you can be like he did not perform literally every other character's role in that film in a 10-minute scene. Like,
I'm like, if you want to be the whitest of the white, how are we not talking about Alec Baldwin in Motherless Brooklyn?
So
he's the only thing worth watching in Motherless Brooklyn.
So here's my thing with this, like, actor. This is one of the categories. This is one gets to where the disrespect really comes in with this year's Oscars. So you have Jonathan Majors, you have Jamie Foxx in Jersey Mercy. You have Rob Morgan. Like, if you want to give two actors in one movie in the same category, you don't go with The Irishman. You go with Jess Mercy. You got Rob Morgan and you got Jamie Foxx sitting right there. That's literally their category to lose. What are you talking about here? What are you doing? Like, no, I'm sorry. They out-act everyone in this category.
They don't like kids.
Well, right. They do not like kids.
Is it because they don't like kids?
And Gats Agagin from Peanut Butter Falcon. Like, if you really just wanted to reach a new audience and give praise to somebody who did a really good job in a film that people might not have expected to do as an amazing
man, buttered himself up and went to the bars.
Would you put him in Best Supporting or would you put him in Best Actor?
What's going on?
I said, would you put Noah Jupe in Best Actor or Best Supporting?
I would want to put him in Best Supporting, but I think I would want to put him in Best Actor, but I think they might lean to put him in Best.
I think they put him up at Supporting. I thought he was supposed to be Supporting. Yeah, I didn't agree with the categorization, but I mean, he should be nominated. That's weird.
I would have put him, like, if I was the studio, I would have put him. He's definitely, I feel, the lead of the story. Mm-hmm. And I would have put Shia as supporting, and I would have nominated Shia. Shia also, for both Peanut Butter Falcon and for Honey mm-hmm. Boy, should be in Best Supporting.
Yeah. Two different characters, yet still Shia LaBeouf. Like, I really like this kid, like this man. I say this kid. This man. He still comes off as Shia LaBeouf. And yet, he's in two different films playing two different characters as Shia LaBeouf. And, to the point where when I looked at Honey Boy and I watched Lucas play him, I was like, he sat and learned Shia LaBeouf from Shia LaBeouf so that he could play Shia LaBeouf.
I mean, Lucas Hedges is also really good in that film too when you mention it. So it's like you could really have gotten all three actors in that film. You could have, if you wanted to, throw them all in the best supporting character, right? Because they're all kind of leaning on each other. You really could have done that, right? If you really wanted to go there. If you wanted to keep it all white and do that, you could have done that. And I still would have been like, hey, well, you know, I mean, shit, and them niggas was acting, right? And nothing I could say about it. That's what kills me about these categories this year is, even if you decide to go all white, you guys still fucked up with who you picked for those. Like, I'm sorry.
All three actors
from, we were just talking about Honey Boy. All three actors from Honey Boy are better than all five people that are knitted here. I'm sorry, they just are. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Now, maybe I'm tripping, and I'm always tripping, but dude, I feel weird that Dark Waters isn't mentioned at all in anything.
And they got, I know they've gotten a foot. Like, Dark Waters is such an interesting film because no one has spoke about it at all.
I don't think anybody wants to talk about it because we've gotten two crises that have come out since then. One with another thing from the same damn 3M company and Teflon again, and now Lead in the Water. Dark Waters was brilliant. And I think people are like, I can't go there.
You might be right.
Too real. Huh?
Yeah, I think it was too real. I think it was too close to home. I think it puts people in a position. We were talking last night on The Expanse that a lot of what's going on is people are letting issues that are real life crises be turned only into political performances, and they don't want anybody to ask the right questions. Dark Water and The Report are movies that make it damn near impossible not to ask the right questions.
Who played Diane Feinstein? Who played Diane Feinstein in The Report? Because she should have been in there for best supporting. Annette Bening. Yes. What are we doing?
I just know with Dark Water, we were watching it when I went down to visit my fam, and my mom walked into the room, and she watched like 5 minutes towards the end of it where they were explaining what the fuck this company did, and she immediately started, like, her and my dad started having a conversation about which nonstick pans they had and where they were in the house. That's how much it affected her just hearing that.
She's like, we throwing this shit out. My mom heard about Dark Water, remembered Dark Water, and she said, that's why I got rid of all that shit. Now we have ceramic. Fuck them hoes. I remember that shit. Fuck Ohio. Fuck them people. Fuck. I was like, you all right, mom? She's like, we divested of any stock that we had. I mean, it was a huge deal. And I think it was a very timely movie. And I'm sad that it didn't get more play. I think that movie was released at the wrong time of the year and on the wrong platform. But I think it was just too real. And I also think it's a version of, why can I not remember his real name? He's the Hulk. Jesus. It's a version of him people are no longer used to seeing as an actor, and it made them uncomfortable.
Well, no, I'm going to say no, because he's done that before. He was in, whatchamacallit?
Spotlight.
Yeah, he's done this before, which is why it is kind of weird that... I don't know. This is why this year is so weird. Because some people.
But he was the lead in this one. Spotlight, he was a part of the ensemble. He had a couple of moments that kind of were really poignant. But this movie, he anchored the entire film, and he managed to be a nice foil from them to always keep the focus on the victims and the crime. And I think it might have slid under people's radars a little too subtle.
Similar type of film to this, though, which I was surprised that Dark Water wasn't getting more conversation behind it, because I was people like, this are, is a spotlight type film.
But people are also tired of those films winning awards, because that's a whole different kind of trauma porn, and people are tired of it.
People are tired of seeing films that show white people ain't shit sometimes all the time. My bad.
I mean, yeah.
All right. So
again, think about it. How many of those movies? I was like, I was surprised we weren't talking about more people for Best Supporting Actor for The Report too, and Dark Water. So
yeah, it just.
I mean, there you go.
All right. So one, two. Best Actress, Cynthia Erivo for I can't even get it out.
Wow.
I can't even get
it. Right,
I can't even get this out. Like, what how? Piece of shit. How fucking dare you? How dare you? How
they didn't even like this. Critics didn't even like this fucking film. You go look the Rotten Tomatoes rating for this film. Critics didn't even like this shit. So why the
this
fuck?
Is the most, this is the most unified black and white critics have been in a while. In terms of together, all of us was like, it's a no for me, dog.
How the fuck did you put Cynthia? She's not even that good as Harry. Like, what are you doing? What was it about her? Her performance is
peach and she's moving.
Her performance isn't memorable. Like, are you out of your fucking mind?
We're not going to say nothing about her in Bad Times at El Royale, but we're going to bring her up for fucking Nigga, Harriet.
What are we doing?
You racist motherfuckers, yo.
Nigga, she's 10 times better in Bad Times at El Royale. Got no mention.
Yeah, she's better in Widows when she only did was running.
Right.
She was better. Great. That one scene. You're not going to talk to me like that. That one scene is better than everything they asked her to do in Harriet.
And she does nothing.
And thought we wouldn't notice it. Like, why would you put Harriet in here and it's like, I guess the niggas will be happy. No, nigga, we're not taking this J. Esquire shit again.
Here's the thing. I would have been able to overlook it if you had put other people, other black women who had better roles in here. He talked about this. I'm not a fan of Clemency, but you put Alfie Woodard there. You put Lupita there for us. Like, are you fucking out of your goddamn mind? How did you
Lupita there for us? They could have acted like it was a slave film. They had some slavish people in it at some point. That was right.
So much. I hate you so deeply to the core of my soul right now, Brandon. I hate you so deeply.
I could have put Octavia Spencer in here for Ma, and I would have been more happy about Cynthia, about this shit, than them putting Cynthia Erivo. I don't like Queen and Slim. I've watched it 2.5 times at this point. I don't fucking like that movie, but they could have put Old Girl
don't
in
you
this
say Jody. Yo, don't you say Jody. Yo, don't you dare.
Yo, no. Jody would. I would have put Jody over Cynthia. Any fucking day, and I don't like that fucking film. Jodie,
okay, that's true. You know what? I think part of the reason why we don't like it is because Jodie did her damn job so well. So you're right.
I mean,
that's a good point. That is a fair point.
I mean,
like, I have a visceral reaction to the movie, not necessarily because it's a bad movie, but because I don't act like what they were asked to do. And they did it well. So you're right.
Yo, no, I mean, like, the acting there is better. Like, you have so many other black actresses you could have pulled up and pulled into this film and pulled into this category. And we put the person, and a lot of people are going to go, oh, it's because it's a slave movie. It's not because it's a slave movie. I don't give a fuck that it's a slave movie, right? Honestly, it's not a memorable performance. And here's the thing. She can act.
Taylor Russell, I know we talked about her for Best Supporting. But she is the lead of the second half of Wicked.
And I was thinking that you could do the same thing. Only reason why I didn't mention Calvin for supporting, because I was like, well, you could probably put him for best actor and then put her for best actress. And again, this category is one of the categories that made me mad. Charlize Theron, love Charlize, should not be here for Bombshell. Absolutely should not be here for Bombshell.
No, come on, the girl from Antigone should be here.
Oh yeah,
Women, you could have took two women from Little Women. You had enough women from Little Women to take more than one woman from Little Women.
Okay, the fact that we're not talking about Saoirse, I mean, more.
I like Saoirse. She lost for Brooklyn. She should have got it for Brooklyn. She didn't get it for Brooklyn. Don't make this a makeup. Like, I'm sorry.
That's what it is. I was like, she's not my Joe. I can see how she could be a Joe for a new generation. But this is not her best work. And I really feel like, once again, she's being nominated because they disrespected her on some better work. The fact that Lupita Nyong'o is not nominated invalidates this entire category. And again, I'm going to say, why isn't Florence Pugh double nominated for Midsommar? If you have to give it to her for Best Supporting Acting for Little Women, how the hell do you not turn right around and nominate her for Midsommar when she was almost doing that shit and overlapped?
Because they don't like horror films. But also, I know everybody's been talking about Renee Zellweger made Waves with Judy and it's buzzing and all of that shit. Let me tell you something. That film is overhyped as fuck. A couple of scenes that she has where she sings and plays Judy is cool, but outside of that, it is a drag, it is slow, it is not that interesting, it is not that great.
Okay, that's because they didn't do... I mean, it's a stage play, and for adapting a stage play to screen, they did a fantastic job, and Renee Zellweger did an amazing job of embodying Judy at that age, but they didn't ask anything else of her. I don't think she should get to be nominated for that.
But at the same time, There's no confusion about who won this category. It's Renee Zellweger. She's gonna fucking
win it. Oh yeah, she's gonna win.
To get these awards. So the same way they put Laura Dern for best actress, for best supporting actress, they're gonna give this to Renee Zellweger for best actress. And again, these are backhanded slaps to me.
I don't know. I think Scarlett still has a big
Big. I don't think
they may give it to Scarlett. It's been a while since people have been able to unequivocally say Scarlett has done good work and has managed to keep her mouth shut long enough for somebody to just talk about her work or her empty cypher ass.
Yeah,
listen, you know how I feel about that broad. And but again, my problem with her being nominated for Marriage Story is she gave a hell of an Annette Bening.
I mean, but ScarJo did do her thing, though, for the ScarJo hater.
You know I hate her, and I can't say she was an acting ass off.
She acted her face off. She acted down this year, and I think that's why she might actually. This is one of the first times that she has done something during the award season where you could unequivocally say she was in the right director's hands with the right words to come out of her mouth, with the right image for her to portray, and she didn't fuck it up. And more than not fucking it up, she did a damn good job.
I still think it's going to be Judy because white people like Judy. Maybe
they also like a redemption story and a comeback story. And Renee is both of those.
I think it's going to be Renee.
I'm going with Renee on this one. When I looked at this category, I'm like, this
is fair.
This whole category is a waste and a wash. Even Charlize Theron was like, for real?
Yeah, she shouldn't be in that category.
Yeah, she shouldn't have got nominated. Like, the prosthetics did her job. And I'm not even saying that she didn't do a good imitation of Megyn Kelly. It's scary how good it is.
Yeah.
That's not a good performance.
No, they didn't ask anything of her either.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. All right, let's move on. Moving on to Best Actor. We have Antonio Banderas for Pain and Glory. We have Leonardo DiCaprio for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Adam Driver for Marriage Story. Joaquin Phoenix for Joker, and then Jonathan Pryce for The Two Popes. And let me just say, I am happily surprised, the first time I've been happily surprised in the category, that Antonio Banderas actually got nominated for Pain and Glory, because he's actually fantastic.
Because he damn well deserves it.
Yeah, he is absolutely... he's
going to Joaquin. This is probably the only acting category that doesn't make me too upset.
I don't think Leonardo should be there.
I would switch him out for Eddie.
Ooh. Yeah,
that's what I would. Eddie Murphy. Yeah. That's what I would switch out Leo for.
To be switched out, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have said Leo for Eddie.
Yeah.
They don't like.
Or Kelvin.
I have another thing again.
Or hell, Adam.
What do you mean, Adam?
I mean, want to take Adam Driver out? Adam Sandler for
Uncut. Oh, Adam Sandler. Okay,
Leo Carter. Any of those three for Adam. Adam Driver doesn't go anywhere. No, Antonio Banderas and Adam Driver unequivocally belong in this category. I love Jonathan Pryce. I don't know.
I really love his performance in Two Popes. I can't even be upset, man.
I'm not mad about him either, but if somebody, I mean, I was on the fence about it, but Joaquin Phoenix does not belong here, and Leonardo DiCaprio does not belong here. They don't belong here.
Yeah,
I don't think Leonardo belongs. Joaquin Phoenix's role in Joker can go to hell and burn, and then die twice, come back, and go there again. Leonardo DiCaprio is never going to get this win because they don't like him. Eddie Murphy, they don't fucking like him. Calvin Harris, I don't know what this kid is going to have to do because it doesn't seem like they're even paying attention to him.
You know, Denzel, play somebody typically niggerish. You know who needs to be in this category, right? That especially after what they did last year.
Dark Waters?
No.
Yes, I agree.
No. What? No, not Dark
Waters. Sorry, Chris. What were you saying?
I said, you know who needs to be in this category after what they did last year and who won last year? Your boy from Rocket Man.
The fact that he's not here,
after all the praise that Rami got for Bohemian Rhapsody, like Rocket Man is what everybody claims Bohemian Rhapsody should have been, and the fact that
every music film this year was that they all say,
right?
But see, I think that Rocket Man is falling prey to what used to happen to musicals.
You gay?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But Bohemian Rhapsody, that's my problem. Bohemian Rhapsody won last year.
Right, but Elton John isn't dead. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right.
They are,
all
right. They, you know, good and damn okay. well, they're willing to give a pass once somebody has get. We've okay. said it before okay. about black actors. Like, everybody's doing this whole redemption arc about things. It's like I just said it about the Grammys. Everybody's up Demi Lovato's ass because she's managed to come back once again and give this gloriously moving performance. And she's the living embodiment of addiction and, you know, the cycle that you have to go through to struggle to come through. They would not give a shit if she was black. Unless she was dead. They are more than happy to memorialize certain marginalized people. They are not happy to celebrate them.
Not only that, but John Elton is like happy. Like
Elton John? Why Elton are you changing his name?
Because I fucked up. Elton John is an
like that is happy. Such the blackest mess up name of Elton John.
John Elton. So black. He laid down the block.
Hotel. But yeah, he's in a good place. He's happy. And also this was that win from Rami Malek, and Rami Malek did a great performance. He really did, despite the fact that he ain't saying he Milli Vanilli did not proud of this. Did they he? Love Queen. This was a Queen thing. It turned into a Queen thing. It had nothing to do with him, the praise they were giving.
No, it's about the fact that he carried that movie forward with a great performance. Nobody dropped the ball in Rocket Man. It's very easy to just kind of put it to the side and say, okay, yeah, it's a solid film. It's a musical and comedy variety. They should talk about it at the Golden Globes and we can move on. And it's also not necessarily an American film, so Batfoots will handle it. I'm telling you, that's why the director is being ignored. It's why all the actors are being ignored. And the only place you see it is in song. And I'll say it, we didn't say it for Cynthia. If she EGOTs, it needs to be for the damn song. And I know she wants it to be for her acting, but it needs to be for that damn song.
Yeah, I'm fine with her winning the Oscar for the song, but girl, not for this performance.
She's going to win it for that song. My money is on that she gets an Oscar for that song this year.
But I think the other reason why she was nominated for lead actress is because she's black and she'd be the youngest EGOT, and they're like, oh, they'll be happy about that. I think it was less about it being a slave movie and more about she could serve multiple purposes and her performance was solid in a trash movie. She wasn't asked to do much, but she did what was asked of her. It was a trash script.
In that category, bro. Like, they knew they weren't going to give her that win in that category.
I think you guys are putting way too much on it. It's a safe slave movie and they were like, well, in order to not look racist, let's pick somebody. Well, she played Harriet and that's it.
She checks a lot of boxes. That's all that is. That's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to overthink it. I just think that these were all the things that were in people's heads. Like, it's fine. They'll be happy with that.
Yeah.
But for lead actor, this. I mean, I don't understand. I like a lot of these actors. I like Joaquin the Phoenix, and I'm just. I don't. He shouldn't win for the Joker. He just.
You called him Joaquin the Phoenix because if you did,
I did.
All right. So yeah. All right, so
let's call him Joaquin the Phoenix. I'm sorry.
So let's end with a big one here. Best Picture. So we have Ford versus Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. And
it's boring. It's a boring category. It is a boring Best Picture category.
It really is. Let me just say, I really enjoyed Ford vs. Ferrari. Should not be here. I really enjoyed Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Should not be here.
Nope.
I even, like, I'm going to say it, and I'm not even saying this because of how I feel about it, but, like, honestly, Jojo Rabbit shouldn't be here. Neither should The Irishman. Like, I'm taking out all those right there. Like, I can, while everybody knows how I feel about Joker. Joker's always going to be in this category. They put in at least one of the big, they always pick like one. Ever since they made this category, they put one of the comic book films in there. So I knew Joker was going to get nominated. Like, at that point, it was a shoe-in. Should it be there? Probably not. But, like, fuck it. I knew that was going to happen. I'm not surprised by that, right? 1917. Like, I'm okay with it, but if it falls out, that would have been perfectly fine for me. There were so many other films.
Ferrari in 1917 should be in editing, and you know it.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. Like, they should not be here. The films
that should actually be here are The Farewell.
Yeah, that's the one. I couldn't believe that The Farewell did not get, for all the
shock
that they got for it, I was very shocked that The Farewell did not end up in here. Like, that
Just
was
Mercy,
amazing.
Out of all the films, like, if y'all wanted to do one of, like, the Just Mercy is a perfect Oscar-y ass film.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The timing in which they released it, the performances in which are there. But, like,
the topic, everything.
The topic, everything. But you know what it is? I will say about what I like about Just Mercy versus other Oscar-y ass films like it is that it actually is a very well, I think it's a very well done film. Like, I think it doesn't, like, there is definitely moments where you're just like, this is definitely carved for this. And I think the trailers don't do it justice. But I think that they do some really serious shit in there that is very earnest to the story that they're telling and being very transparent about the criminal justice system.
Yes.
So because of that, I'm like, yo, this is actually a good movie and it's an Oscar-y movie. So the fact that it got paid in dust really surprises me.
Yeah. I think the thing that holds Just Mercy back, and I hate to say this because I love this kid and I feel like they have overlooked him at least twice at this point for his role, for his roles. I don't think Michael B. Jordan adds a whole lot to the film as the lead. And
he's the weakest actor out of all the performances. Absolutely.
And there's a whole lot of him on screen doing stuff that typically falls into the category of black biopic, injustice done, justice will be served by the end, niggas clap.
But I think it's also because the story wasn't necessarily so much about him as it was about the work he was doing.
Right.
And I think that might have confused people and given them the excuse to walk away from the movie when it came to nomination time.
So that's the kind of movie that I don't disagree with you, but I still think that, like, I still think, like, you could have still nominated Jamie Foxx and Rob Morgan because that's separate from Michael B. But I think overall, as a picture, I definitely think it should have gotten nominated for Best Picture.
No, I agree with you. It should be here.
It works. Like, it works.
Booksmart should be here.
It should.
I would agree with that too.
But so should Honey Boy. And I
agreed.
Like, I think Waves should be here. I'm sorry. I feel like Waves took a lot of fucking risks
doing it. Waves
the way it. And I think it should absolutely fucking be here.
Waves,
like, my sister called me and was like, yo, I cried like multiple times during Waves. And it's just, it's sad that these films got overlooked because this year they wanted to be white and boring.
Tim, what do you think should be in Best Picture? I feel like I talked over you at some point.
No, you're fine. what I think should win? At least, I think Waves should be there for sure. But I honestly think 1917 is going to be the one that wins. I think it's the safest of the group. It's got that sort of, I think someone was speaking to earlier, sort of this historical, I think, Ro, you were saying this, right? This idea of a time before when things were better. It's got that. It's got some good cinematography. And I think people are just going to be like, that's the safe pick. I think it's going to win. I wish Waves was in there. I wish Waves got way more love. But I think 1917 is the film that walks away with the most awards this award season.
1917 has been doing a lot of surprise wins in, like, the PGA, the WGA, like, all of these, like, technical kind of writer and producer led.
But that's what it should be winning for.
And
I agree with you.
I actually do not disagree with Tim that I do think that 1917 would probably walk away from it, walk away with it. The only reason why I think Jojo Rabbit and Parasite is giving it a run for their money is that Jojo Rabbit is also winning at, like, the DGA and the PGA on certain categories too. Mm. Parasite won the SAG Award for Best Ensemble, and that was the first time a foreign film has ever done that. So I think it is winning surprisingly in other categories too. So I don't think it's a Roma situation where, like, I love Roma, but I always thought Roma was going to be a long shot to win Best Picture. Mm-hmm. I think Parasite is probably the closest foreign film we'll ever see to actually potentially, like, win it.
And here's the thing. I don't have faith that it's going to win. And here's why. Because Bong is not, he's not, like, mincing words. And the voters, they hate that shit. They want people when they give you something, they want you to be grateful that they nominated you. And he's not. The shit he's saying is like calling the Oscars like a domestic.
He said the Oscars are local.
A local. Like, yeah, calling it local. Like, everything he's saying is great, and he's not wrong. But I honestly think there's going to be pushback from these voters because we know how these voters are. And so I see that coming. So Parasite should absolutely win this out of the films that are nominated here. Parasite should run away with it. The only thing that would give it a run maybe Marriage Story or Little Women, but, like, outside of that, it should be Parasite, like, hands down.
I really miss 2016 and like 2017 and 2018 Oscars, man, because they were, you would look at these categories and you would just like, oh, I want this film to win and this film to win and I want this actor to win and this actor to win, but there can only be one. And this year it's like, no, literally, I'm looking at what's here and there will only be one.
There should only be one. No, I don't agree. I don't disagree with you, Chris. I think I like the fact that we want to just like, look, I mean, this is great. I'm loving the love. I think it's great. You know, give me an idea that maybe we didn't make a bad movie. But, you know, if you guys get over your fear of that little bar of text, you'll run into a bunch of movies that are great. And I'm loving the fact that he's using his platform to say, I'm not the only person out here doing good work. And you guys are doing yourself and your country a disservice, ignoring it. But I want Parasite to win because I'm tired of the limitation of films from other countries, whether they're in English or not, being limited to the foreign or international film category. I also want it to win because it's one of the best ensemble movies I've seen in a really long time. Right. And I think these other movies are nominated because they feel like they have to nominate them and they didn't. And once they got nominated for, you know, production and editing and sound and all those other things, like, well, that's the whole movie. So clearly we should nominate the best picture. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what happened with a lot of these movies in here. I mean, you all know, I think I have said it enough. Portrait should be here. But then if you're going to ignore it for best picture, it should at least be in cinematography. And it's not.
Cinematography, dog. How? Like, there are shots.
How's Maddie being ignored?
I was gonna say, can we talk about the best cinematography category, please? Because I have a quick thought.
Before we move to there, though, could Parasite win if they changed it to 12 Years of Parasite? Could it then win best picture?
Don't do that. Hell.
I'm sorry.
La La Parasite.
Yes.
Now, you know what? It probably could win if it was La La Parasite. There's one dance number, just a single dance
mistake.
So, well, maybe they gotta paint their faces white. That's
just let him sing shit in the background. The actual artist person.
I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is.
He got when an artist has to get sick, like you had to have Gosling direct him on what it means to be a jazz musician. Sure, sir.
Because he would have showed up doing a stat back. Like, no, sir.
Okay, let's be real. If they had at some point in time disclosed how they managed to be living in such a poverty-stricken state, we wouldn't even be discussing if there was a question if it was going to win. It would absolutely win. If this was a downtrodden, you know, got to do what I got to do to save my family after we fell kind of thing, a father having to overcome the guilt of failing his family, it'd be hand down gonna win. But it's, you know, it's not that. It's a social commentary on the parasitic relationship we have with money and the people who have it. So I think it should win. And I don't know if it will, but I don't know. Cinematography makes me feel the same way. This is the whitest ass category on earth.
This is honestly, to be candid, the only nomination that Joker should ever get is for best cinematography for Lawrence Sher. That I agree with. That I'm like, cool. I'm not mad at this. Yes, keep that. Deacons for 1917, cool with that too. Because you know, y'all know how I feel about 1917 as a film. Mm-hmm. I think it's bland as fuck, even though it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful, great gowns, beautiful gowns. But like, it's a boring ass story.
I mean, obviously Jaren should be here for Lighthouse, and he is.
Yes. And I agree with that too. So this is who I would have taken out. Take out Robert for Once Upon a Time and Rodrigo for The Irishman. Replace them with Drew Daniels for Waves. And then replace the other place for Claire Malton, who did the cinematography for Portrait of a Lady on Fire in Atlantics. And that's a good category.
I was about to say, I want Atlantics and Portrait here. I want her here for both.
Yes. You want to put a comma, put her picture twice? I don't care what you do. You want to do two different pictures of her, one at night, one at day? Don't matter. Shorty should be there for best cinematography.
She was all over the place. I was like, how are we not talking about Claire?
And Claire did what she had to do. Drew Daniels did for Waves, another one where Waves should have like absolutely ran off with the nomination.
I knew they weren't giving it to Waves. weren't giving it to Wes.
They all said, but it was funny because every critic I passed was like, cinematography was great. I thought the story was cliche. And I was like, but you probably love Euphoria. Shut the fuck up. Like for this, how did they ignore Rocket Man again? How?
Too much glitter.
What the fuck, man? Like the dance numbers, the way they transitioned shots, the way they shot, like they literally had action scenes in one of the big opening songs with my man running for motorcycles and people getting knocked through windows and shit. The whole club scene where they all go up in the air and that shit is legit magical. How do you not give Rocket Man a nod for cinematography?
I don't know.
I would also say that, like, that also goes for another point towards Dexter Fletcher for best director. Because the way he sets up those transitions and, like, storyboards this from top to bottom on how to make a musical and make these songs work for the story, not the story work for the songs.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. Like, he should get nominated for best director.
Yeah, but then if you will go into those being your issues and setting up the shots and the movement and everything, how do you not talk about Adam Newport Barra for Last Black Man in San Francisco?
Don't know, because that shit is beautiful. Like, I know, Joy, you saw this. you saw that that Charm City film, and everybody keeps talking about that. And I kind of, every time I see y'all talk about that film, because when I saw the trailer, the first thing it reminded me of was 12 O'Clock Boys.
It's inspired by 12 O'Clock Boys completely.
12 O'Clock Boys is fucking gorgeous. Like, the cameras they used to shoot those dudes on motorcycles in slow motion was fucking amazing. So I'm like, I'm looking forward to seeing Charm City, but I'm also kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to like this because I feel like it's going to get all the praise that 12 O'Clock Boys did not get that it should have got.
So if you read my review on MTR Network, I actually quote the 12 O'Clock Boys in my first paragraph for Charm City Kings. Because I stayed for the Q&A after the premiere at Sundance, and they are members of the 12 O'Clock Boys who are actors in Charm City Kings.
Okay, this makes me feel better about this. Okay, I'm cool with this.
Yes, but the cinematography, also the cinematography is done by a woman, Caitlin Armazetti. I can't pronounce her last name, sorry, sweetheart. She did what she had to do. There is one scene in Charm City Kings where these motherfuckers are on two 12 O'Clock Boy members are on bikes, and they throw a brick at a cop car, and the cops are chasing them, even though Baltimore has a no-chase policy when it comes to these bikers, and they are riding down the streets of West Baltimore to Philadelphia by Meek Mill, and the way that she does them aerial shots and shows the athleticism, one of the best shots of the year.
Wow. Can't wait to see it.
So, all right.
I can't wait for y'all to see it.
All right, so I think the overall thing to take away from this is that these Oscar nominations are trash. I know Brandon already said he's not watching. I never watch. I never watch it. It's way too fucking long. It's way too fucking long. I'm just gonna.
I got a bedtime, bro.
Right? Yeah, I'm not doing that. I want to say last time they announced them until like after midnight. I'm like, I'm not doing this. It's fucking Sunday. I'm not doing that shit. So I'll just check the announcements when they come out. It's too much. So. It's just a sad thing. I think that, again, 2019 was a really good year for films. The Oscars this year don't represent that, whether you're talking about diversity and inclusion or whether you're just talking about just good films. Like, it just, they do not wreck you. They either way you look at it, you can go all white with the Oscars and still had been better picks than they picked this year, hands down. So I think, I don't know what was going on this year, why they made these choices, but it was just overall not a good look. So. That's all I had to say. Anybody got some last minute things you want to say before we wrap this up?
Nope.
Anyway, if you actually listen to us talk about films and do reviews and stuff, please go watch the films that we big up that these white people are not giving the praise to properly. Because I don't, like, these award ceremonies, they're cool and shit, dog, but I don't feel like these motherfuckers are interested in the things they're watching anymore. With the way they go about wanting to put them up on a pedestal. It's very boring. It's dry. And last year had just a slew of great films that people just felt like they didn't need to talk about or didn't discuss. And typically, I know some people watch the Oscars to figure out what films they missed from last year that they should have watched. This is not one of those years where you're going to get your best list. Maybe if you'd have watched like the Golden Globes or whatever, you definitely would have gotten better lists from the other awards ceremonies that aren't as big. But, dog, our reviews that we put up on the site, they were legit last year. Because we all saw a bunch of great fucking films, which is why this conversation was so heated today. Because they weren't here. And they should have fucking been here. Neja isn't even up for animation. Like, you know what, goddammit. You know what? You motherfucker.
It's back in movie theaters. It's in movie theaters out here now. So go catch it on a big screen, man. Do that for yourself.
That film made like $700 million, dog. Like, are you serious?
Don't do this to yourself, Brandon. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Get the fuck out of here, man. Yeah. All right, yeah, that's my point. That's my piece.
All right, well, what we got coming up this week for reviews? Oh, Birds of Prey. So that we'll have a non-spoiler and a spoiler review coming up with that on Movie Trailer Reviews.
More Sundance coverage!
Yeah, woo! Joy has a lot more Sundance cover coming out. Tim, what do you got coming?
That's it. Birds of Prey, and I'm seeing Sonic the Hedgehog on Saturday morning.
Yeah, Brandon said he's going to see that too. So I'm going
to.
I'm going back to practicing self care and not wasting my.
I'm going to try to see that. If everybody's going to go see it, I'm going to try to see it if I can get on a screen. Get in on a screen.
Y'all have fun with that, and I don't care if you guys come back and tell me it's great. I still don't care because it's Sonic. And I don't give a fuck about Sonic.
Would come back and tell you Sonic the fucking Hedgehog was great. You've seen the trailer, right?
How I've seen the trailer.
He has no faith in us now. I see what's happening.
So, fun fact, my first gaming console.
First of all, I saw the turning. I saw the turning because Brandon told me to go see the certain turning. So, now granted, before he saw it, but still. I told you
I was going to see the turning, nigga. I didn't tell you to turn out for it, too. I said I was going to see it.
Yeah, you're right. Matt, you know what? You're right. I'm gonna take that one.
We didn't even get a screening. They didn't even try to bring that out here to us. So we didn't even get a screening.
We didn't get one either. We paid for this shit. So
should have called this shit to turn it off.
Oh god, should have. Absolutely.
And on that note.
All right, folks. Wow. Thank you guys very much for listening. And just keep us keep checking for us on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio and on Spotify. Until next time, we are out of here. Peace.